You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Well, no, ladies and gentlemen, that was not a fun outing at all, as the Philadelphia Flyers tonight in Buffalo, New York, fall to the Sabres 4-2. Welcome on into tonight's PHLY Flyers postgame show. Of course, I am not Bill Matz. Bill Matz is having a much-deserved weekend off as he's enjoying all the festivities in Philadelphia for WrestleMania. So tonight, of course, I am JP Zapata. Join as always with the number one hockey beat reporter in Philadelphia, Charlie O'Connor, and the lovely Kelly Hinkle. Oh, man, let's get this started off here. I want to start off, of course, with Charlie O'Connor. Charlie, man, what do you take away from that game?
It's just a bummer because, I mean, at least to my eyes, and I'm curious, Kelly and JP, kind of where your thoughts are after watching that game, but the Flyers came in, and they more or less, at least the skaters, more or less did exactly what John Tortorella told them they had to do, which was, you know, up their level of play, protect their goalie more. You know, they did pretty much what you wanted them to do. Now, as I said, they were perfect. They had some breakdowns. But for the most part, this was kind of the performance you wanted to see from them. And they still lost in large part because UPL, the Buffalo goalie, played very well, especially in the first half of the game. And Ivan Fedotov, unfortunately, the hero of Monday's game, did not play well enough for the Philadelphia Flyers. And I think my takeaway, my immediate takeaway, is that I'm angry at this game, and more that this is why you had to beat the Blackhawks and Montreal. Because these kind of games happen sometimes. Sometimes you just get goalied on both sides of it. It's hockey. It happens. But that's why you couldn't squander that entire, like, breathing room that you had. And you did it this past week by losing to, you know, two of the worst teams in hockey. And this game they should have won, but they didn't. And there is no such thing as moral victories at this point of the year when we're scratching all of our playoff spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't disagree with you. The Flyers definitely played hockey tonight. Like, they looked good for stretches. But, like, not to get too Bill Matz on everybody, but, like, they've been goalied now in, like, I feel like 4 of the last 10 games, it feels like, in my head. And at some point, like, when are you going to remember how to score a goal? Like, when are you going to finish? Like, at some point, I'm tired of hearing about them being goalied. UPL definitely looked good tonight. But, like, you know your season's hanging in the balance. You know that it's entirely in your hands. Find a way to score a goal. Like, find a way. And they didn't do that tonight.
It's just super frustrating. I mean, like, we were looking at this 6 or 7 game stretch here that you had, and you were thinking, like, oh, well, this is where we're going to get those points. This is where we're going to separate with Washington, which, by the way, well, I'll check, and I don't know if you guys have seen the score of that Washington-Carolina game.
But Washington is losing. The Flyers, if they get into the playoffs, it's going to be because these other teams just fumble the ball constantly.
Seriously.
Because, yeah, right now, the Carolina Hurricanes are 6 seconds away from beating the Capitals in regulation, and the Rangers are 2 minutes and 32 seconds away from beating the Red Wings in regulation. That game's 4-3, though, so the Red Wings could certainly tie that one instead of the overtime, but... yeah, the Flyers blew an opportunity here, but the teams that are chasing them are playing early too. So who knows?
Yeah, and like
the Eastern Conference is hilarious this year. It's so funny. No one wants to make the playoffs, apparently.
That seems to be the sentiment right now. And here are the Flyers who've looked so good up to this point. And you know, talking with Cousin the morning, like he always says, like that there has been no expectations for this team. And like, yes, there has been expectations going to the season for this team. But since we're at this point and you're knocking on the door right now, we were all anticipating for them to, especially on a night like tonight against Buffalo in Buffalo, that it's just extremely frustrating for us to just continuously now 6 in a row. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
6 straight losses in a row. Yeah. And I know for a lot of us Flyers fans, we get that PTSD from the past couple seasons. But fact is, you're in a playoff push, and now we have lost 6 straight games here. But, I mean, Charlie, like, it's just crazy to me because we outshot the Buffalo Sabres, and we continue to outshoot these teams. And like you mentioned, UPL was standing on his head there. But was it just the fact that UPL was so good, or was the Flyers just gassed?
Well, I think in the first half of the game, it really was just the goalie. And sometimes this happens. Like, this is hockey. Sometimes the opposing goalie just plays really well. I thought the Flyers had a ton of really good scoring chances in the first half of the game. The main critique I will give them, aside from the play for the top, we'll break down in a little bit, because that obviously was a major part of the story of this game. The main critique I would give them is that they didn't really build on. Like, they tied the game. They built into that goal. The Flyers were by far the better team the first half of this game. They tied the game. Buffalo takes a timeout, and they just never got it. Like, Buffalo did a great job halting the Flyers' momentum, and props to Buffalo. That's their job. It's not like the Flyers are the only team on the ice. But the Flyers have nowhere to play for right now, and it's not that the Flyers got outplayed in the final 30 minutes. I don't think that's true. But they are no longer dominating like they did in the first 30. And you would have liked to have seen a bigger surge in the second half of the game, more reminiscent of how they played the rest of the first half of the game. Again, you got to remember, they're not the only team on the ice. The other team's trying too. But the Flyers believe they were better than the Sabres. They believe they're a playoff team. If you are a better team than the Sabres, then go out there and impose your will. I love they did in the first half of the game. They come out of the first half of the game tied 1-1. And then the second half of the game, it then kind of became a coin flip game. But it's a coin flip game where one team has a goalie playing very well, one team has a goalie playing poorly. This can happen, and that's what happened.
No, yeah, absolutely. Charlie, one thing I did notice here tonight, especially on some of those early goals, was Buffalo did a really good job of using the whole ice, and especially on transition. Like, what did you see on some of those early goals when it looked like they did space out the ice there?
Well, and the first goal, the Thompson goal, that was clearly a defensive breakdown. Now, it probably was a little bit on both Mark Stahl and Morgan Frost, because Stahl's a left side defenseman on that first goal.
Yeah, he moves over where we're going
to cover the guy driving in the middle lane. Now, granted, this is why you drive the middle lane on a rush, is you want to try to pull that defenseman over because it creates chaos within a defensive zone structure. I don't necessarily think that Stahl was wrong to do that. However, he goes over there real quick, and Murray DeFrost is not necessarily in a great position to pick up the trailer, who's Tage Thompson on the other side of the play. But in addition to that, Morgan Frost also puck watches. Like, I don't think this is him being lazy. He just gets sucked into watching it all with the puck and doesn't realize that once Stahl covers the middle lane guy, Frost has to be back checking like hell to catch up with Thompson. Instead, Frost watches the puck. Puck gets over to Thompson, who has all the time in the world to dangle around Fedotov, who also was probably a little bit too far out of his net. You got to talk about Fedotov in a little bit. Like, yes, that's using the whole ice to be sure, but it's also just a defensive breakdown. And those were happening. Like you saw the 4-on-4 goal that the Sabres had, the Dahlin goal. They gave him too much space. Yes. Now, granted, it's 4-on-4. There's more space in the ice. And Buffalo's high-end guys are probably more talented than the Flyers' high-end guys, so they have a natural advantage at 4-on-4. But you can't get him back enough space to move into the high slot, even going down to the low slot. I mean, they do the same thing on the third goal. They give, with 5 seconds out in the period, they just kind of went to sleep. And so, yeah, there were defensive breakdowns. At some point, we got to get saved. But there were defensive breakdowns, to be sure. I guess, Kelly, how much of this do you pin on the defense?
I mean, it didn't look great. The idea of a Mark Stahl, Aaron Johnson pairing, I don't understand why that's the choice that you make, given the options that you have. But I'm kind of tired of complaining about John Tortorella's lineup choices, honestly. I feel like we've been doing that for the last couple of weeks now. But I obviously Morgan Frost, he definitely was puck watching, but I feel like the whole reason that you put a guy like Mark Stahl in the lineup is that you're depending on him to be the guy that knows not to fuck up in the way that he did. And he did, and it led to a goal. I don't know that I put this game on the defense. It wasn't great, but I'm more frustrated tonight with the offense. And also, I know we're going to talk about the goaltending. Nothing worse, Charlie, than you being absolutely right about something. And might have been a little soon for Fido Tom to get into some games. But, you know, tonight was just a very frustrating game to watch.
You guys are absolutely right. I mean, like, what did Buffalo end with in shots here? 19 shots on goal. I mean,
19 shots on goal.
Like, at some point.
And a few of them were empty net shots, too.
Right.
One of the goal was, so I guess one. So, I mean, you hold a team to 19 shots, you should probably win.
You got at some point. Right. You got to put some pucks in the net, and that's to me one of the big stories of the night. Real quick,
Sorry, no. Go ahead. Go ahead, JP.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like to that end, like a lot of the Flyers high end guys have disappeared over the last few games, and that's very annoying. Travis Konecny is doing a great job getting us a discount on his next contract. So that's cool of him to go ahead and do that. But I don't know what's going on with the guys that are supposed to be leading this team. It's very frustrating. Sorry to think that.
No, you're 100% right. It's hard not to think, because I did think about that as well. Like, because obviously, you know, I forget what game it was, but the third period where he was benched for like the first 7 minutes, like you just, like I started thinking about what's that contract now, those negotiations looking like. But real quick, VO Noob did give us a super chat. Thank you to VO Noob. It says F the pen, seriously. So I guess on a night like tonight, we appreciate that.
Agreed. Excellent point.
We do appreciate that there. Well, let's dive into it, right? So, like, a lot of people were leading up to this game, the question was, do you go Arison? Do you go Fedotov? And tonight, it was Fedotov. Start off with you, Kelly. Overall, what do we think of Fedotov and his first full start?
So, I mean, I'm obviously not ready to write this guy off as not being as good as we want him to be. That would be silly. I do think that there are some things about his game that he's going to have to adjust, I think, for the NHL. I think that the way that he comes out as far as he does from the net on some of these stops that he's making, maybe that works in the KHL, because I'm assuming that they don't have the kind of shooting talent that the NHL has. But when you give up rebounds like that to NHL hockey players and you're far enough out of your net that you're leaving corners and side of the net open for guys to shoot at, they're going to shoot at it. Also, it seems pretty clear to me that since he's not been here very long, and what, Charlie, he's had one practice with the team?
Well, we had a full practice. Well, yeah, one full. I mean, there was the skills practice on Wednesday, which he participated in. He's obviously participated in morning skates, but the practice yesterday, Thursday's practice, was the only full practice he's had with his teammates.
It doesn't seem like the when he plays the puck, which he seems to be quite good at playing the puck, to be fair. But there doesn't seem to be, defense doesn't seem to know what he's going to do when he comes out to play the puck. And I guess that's to be expected because these guys have been playing together for 30 seconds. And I don't know how good Fedotov's English is. Like, I don't, the dynamics of this are very complicated. But it just seems like the newness of Fedotov is more of a problem, I think, than his skill level, which I think is good because that means it can be fixed. But yeah, I mean, obviously it was a disappointment. I think that all of us fans who tend to be a little, you know, irrational, really wanted him to just come in and be, you know, Patrick Waugh, and he wasn't, and that's a bummer, but you know, I think he'll be fine. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I guess where I'm coming from is, like, objectively speaking, he's the biggest reason they lost this game. He is. I mean, the Thompson goal, yeah, it's an offensive breakdown to be sure to leave him that open, but Fedotov does get dangled to hell on that play, and it's not like that was an unstoppable play. He could have broken it up. He could have made the save. He could have been a little bit further back in his net. Like, that's not a play that's destined to be a goal. Then we have the two goals in the second period where they're both high blocker. It just, and Al Morganti pointed that out in the intermission second period, basically, like, it looked like that first one, it was kind of an accident they had high blocker, and then they all just decided, like, well, let's keep trying this, and then it works again. Not to say that either of those plays were, like, easy to stop shots. You're giving a guy time in the high slot. It's prime real estate for creating quality chances. But you just needed a save. You really needed a save on that last one at the end of the second period. They needed to go in to intermission with the with it still just a one goal game rather than it being two. It would have seemed a lot more manageable. It was just, I don't know. It's. I can't be mad because I don't think this is. I'm not going to go so far as to say it's not fair because the guy wants to play. He's been through hell. He gets over to the NHL. He wants to be in games. I get it. He is not being put into an easy situation at all. And I guess that's really the story of the Flyers goaltending ever since the Carter Hart thing. But, like, none of these goalies are being put in a good situation. It's the whole reason why I wanted Fedotov to go in this game versus tomorrow. Is I want to give Arison an extra big rest because they need to get something out in the rest of the way, and that guy looks exhausted. So it's kind of like, well, maybe Fedotov could ride the vibes of Monday. He couldn't, and this was the kind of performance I expected from him on Monday, where he just looked discombobulated. I mean, he's been here for a week. He's on one practice with his team. He has no idea the way to communicate with his new teammates, not in terms of language, because he can speak English to a degree, and if he can shout out words and stuff, no problem. But even if he was a perfectly fluent English speaker from South Jersey, if you toss a goalie on an NHL team and ask him to figure everything out in terms of chemistry and knowing the way teams view their breakouts and knowing where everybody's at, like, they're going to struggle a little bit. So this was always going to be a risk. Then adding the fact that he's going to have to adjust to the NHL game. It seems clear that, at least in this game, he was pulling himself out of his net a little bit too much. He looked really slow going side to side on a few plays that they didn't even take advantage of, where you're just like, oh, right, he's big, but he's going to need to get better at a lot of movement, or at least get better at anticipating plays so that he can get going with his lateral movement a little bit quicker. There's rough edges in this guy's game. And the hope is that give him an offseason, a lot of work working with Kim Dillaboff, working with him next year, working with the team as a whole, we'll figure it out. But this game was a reminder of, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but like, it was a reminder that like this was a huge ask of Fedotov on Monday. That's why the Fedotov performance on Monday was so impressive, because this kind of game was exactly what I was afraid of. It didn't happen at Monday. Maybe it was just riding on pure adrenaline. I don't know. But in this game, it all showed up. And unfortunately, I mean, it's the biggest reason why they lost the game. They could have scored more, but it was the biggest reason they lost the game.
Always two, Charles. Always two.
All right. Before we continue, guys, I want to take a quick second and tell you about one of our dear sponsors here today. And let's talk about Empire today, ladies and gentlemen. Are you guys looking for a new floor? Because listen, I know for myself, I am personally in the market for a new floor. That's why I'm going to check out Empire today. And with Empire today, you guys can get at-home convenience with the right products that you need for quick and professional installation and price match guarantee. Empire today is the best place to get new flooring. So, of course, they have copycats. But they can't beat Empire today on quality, service, speed. So they advertise low-quality products that will simply won't carry. Empire today won't promise the lowest prices because anyone who does that is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. We keep shopping for floors simple with our curated product selection. Their philosophy is to help you find what you need and not overwhelm you, which is extremely important. And they have the virtual floor designer, which it is a great way to see how the new floors will look in any new space. It's easy, just a snap picture, and instantly you will see the new floors and how it will look in your room. So guys, right now, Empire today, if you schedule a free in-home estimate, all listeners right now will receive a $350 off discount when you use the promo code PHLY in all caps. Restrictions do apply, but go head on over to cempire.com/PHLY for further details. And I've been requested by Kelly to give the little jingle. So call 1-800-588-2300, Empire.
Today.
Charles, there it is. That's the good shit right there.
Obviously, we don't do it as good as Bill, but hey, the jingle is necessary. You're right, Kelly. It was definitely necessary. Mm-hmm. But as we continue here, guys, into tonight's 4-2 loss here to the Buffalo Sabres. Look, with Fedotov, I agree with Charlie, like putting a goalie who's been in here for what, like 2 weeks, if that, into a situation where a team is fighting for a playoffs. And obviously they are a little bit gassed. And we talked about the pairing of Staal and Johnson, but I noticed a couple of things, like obviously like, especially on that first goal. And I was curious of what you thought about it as well. Like the way they got Staal out of position. And obviously you saw how Tage Thompson was able to get past Morgan Frost, but just in general, just being able to move Fedotov laterally, it looked like he did struggle a little bit. But I just think that, like Kelly said, you just can't write him off right away. But I am curious to see how Erson will respond tomorrow, especially I'm assuming after what he saw today should push him here a little bit. But Charlie, on that first goal there, was it Mark Staal being out of place, or was that Morgan Frost just being getting caught by Tage Thompson?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was probably a little bit of both. Talked about it a little bit earlier, just about the fact that, like, I don't love Staal getting pulled over, but once he does, then Frost has to back check harder and he's puck watching. But really, it's a combination of three things. It's pretty rare. As much as people love to pin it on the person they dislike the most, it's pretty rare when a goal against is the fault of just one person. There's usually two or three people that are blamed. And I think that goal, it was a shared blame between Staal, Frost, and Fedotov, to be sure. Now, it's funny, like, watching that play, it would not all shock me if, like, John Tortorella's view and the coach's view is that Staal did exactly what he's supposed to do, that he's supposed to cover the middle lane guy, and Frost is supposed to back check like a demon to cover the outside guy. I know that for a fact, but it really shocked me in large part because, and maybe I'm giving him too much credit here, but like, I expect Mark Staal to make mistakes in terms of like turnovers or, you know, not being fast. But when it comes to system decisions, I tend to think that he's probably doing what the coaches want him to do. So that's why I'm more apt to say it was probably more Frost's mistake. That said, if it was, I do give John Tortorella credit for continuing to throw Frost out there. Given that Frost then, his next shift had a great shift. He had a good game with the exception of that play, I guess. Like, he created a lot. And this kind of leads me into, you know, what I want to talk to you guys about. I think it's abundantly clear that Fedotov was one of the, if not the biggest reason the Flyers lost this game. But who else do you come out of this game being frustrated with? Like, is it just Vinota, or are there individual players who you're just like, man, they just didn't have his night, and it was noticeable that they didn't have his night?
Travis Konecny. Frustrated with Travis Konecny. He had that one glaring turnover towards the end of the game that was just sticking in my head because it was towards the end of the game, and it was glaring.
The one with the net, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he is the best player on the team. He is supposed to be the best player on the team. I just feel like these are the games. Like, this is supposed to be the balls out effort team. It's what they've been all year. Like, this is when I want to see a guy like Travis Konecny step up and take over a game. Like, as you said, Charlie, the other team's trying. He can't just go out and at will do things. But we've seen Travis Konecny play much better hockey than he's been playing over the last couple of games. And that's frustrating because we know this team is of the most talented team. We know that having trouble with the whole outworking thing because they're probably tired. Another thing that I'm tired of hearing about. the guys like Travis Konecny, to them, is back and drag them if that's the case. And he's not doing that. And that's very frustrating because the Travis Konecny that we've seen for most of the season, I expected him to be that guy during this kind of stretch, and he just isn't doing it.
I mean, you guys mentioned obviously two obvious ones, Fedotov, and Travis Konecny. I was going to say Joel Farabee up until my man gets cut in the Wizards.
He had a rough night.
Yeah, he had a rough game.
Yeah. And so it obviously that's another guy too that we're, you know, all expecting for him to produce and offensively. And we've seen him go on that little bit of a cold streak, but
he's just struggling right now.
I think it's a mental block. To be quite honest with you guys, and you know, when you talk about Travis Konecny, you would think, because we've seen, like you said, we've seen it before in the middle of the season, him just play with that cockiness a little bit, and that's always that fun Travis Konecny that we love, and maybe he just needs to get back to that. We have a super chat real quick here from Scotty. Hey, Wild Adventure says, my 6-year-old says, shoot less, work more. Power play sucks. Rocky haircut Thompson needs to go. At least we got the fabulous Kelly in studio tonight. Absolutely.
Can we get that fabulous Kelly? Yeah, I was going to say, Scotty's 6-year-old is the new power play coach.
I was going to say, yeah, he's hired. Shoot less, one more. They should simply do that. I don't know why they don't do that. Doesn't make any sense.
It seems like good advice to me. Going back to Konecny for a second, I would agree, and I've been defending Konecny over the stretch because he is scoring. He's obviously telling you he didn't, but he's been producing points. I don't think he's been playing as terribly as Bill in particular. Hope you're having fun watching a wrestling, Bill, has been applying over the last few shows. But one part of this game that really did stick out to me as like, Konecny, did you have to do it then? The Flyers are dominating at 5-on-5 in this game. You know, when there was not as much ice available, the Flyers were controlling puck possession, they were controlling the game. And I know that Josh Varela has said this year that I don't want to stop Travis Konecny from being Travis Konecny because, yeah, he's going to do some dumb things sometimes, but that's what he feeds off of to do the great things. So, again, you're going to let Travis Konecny be Travis Konecny. However, there really wasn't a need to go all at Jeff Skinner there. And I know it's matching penalties. That said, Konecny did get a few extra slashes in that easily could have been him getting the extra penalties. Now the refs, they even it up. But the thing is that it changed the complexion of the game in that the Flyers are not as well positioned to thrive at 4-on-4 versus 5-on-5, especially against a team like the Sabres, where, look, the Sabres have their weaknesses. You know, they are not, I would say, an incredibly deep team. They are an inconsistent team, but their top-end guys can really friggin' move. I mean, guys like Darlene, guys like Thompson, Skinner can fly. Like, Skinner, I guess, was off the ice for this, but like, they're a team where they got some really, really scary high-end guys. And Konecny puts both teams at 4-on-4. And not immediately, but in the ensuing 4-on-4, Dahlin cuts through the Flyers defense using that extra space from 4-on-4, scores. I guess it's not the game winning goal because the Flyers score again, but it's the goal that gives the Sabres a lead that they never ultimately relinquish. And I don't know how angry I even want to get at Konechny, because like, he's just being Travis Konechny. He's just being the agitating pest. But there is an element of maybe this isn't the time to be an agitating pest. And also, if you are the best player on the team, maybe a tie game, a must-win game, isn't the time to get yourself taken off the ice for 2 minutes, even if you take somebody with you. Like, I think the Sabres will take that tree of connecting for 2 minutes, scared for 2 minutes, any day. To me, if anything, this has just served as a reminder. I still am very high on Travis Konechny. I think he's a really good player. I'm certainly not, you know, saying, like, I'm not even going to get into the trade Konechny thing because, like, there are reasons to trade him. But to me, the reading, if you're trading Travis Konechny in the offseason, which I'm so skeptical to do, but if you do that, you do that because you think it's the best move for the rebuild, not because you're mad at how he played the final 10 games of the year. That said, I do think this does serve as something, a reminder that as good as Travis Konechny has been this year, he's been quite good, he's not the best player on a contender. He's just not. Like, that's just not who he is. And, nope. Kelly, you were describing, like, I need more from him. And you're right. You do need more from your best player in these kinds of games. The thing is that I don't think he can get it. Like, he is where he is. He's a darn good player. But he's not best player on a contending team. And I think this is certainly something to remind her of that.
No. I would agree with that, but I don't think you need to be Nate MacKinnon to score a single goal against the Buffalo Sabres. Like, if he had scored tonight, we're not talking about this 4-on-4 nonsense if he had scored a goal tonight. Like, I don't think I'm expecting him to be better than he is. I'm expecting him to be the best player on this team. And right now he's not. Like, Owen Tippett and Morgan Frost, I think, are more impactful in games than Travis Konechny has been lately.
At the moment, sure. To be clear, like, I'm not arguing with your set. Like, they need more from Travis Konechny. What I'm saying is that the fact that they need more from Travis Konechny, the fact they need more than maybe what he's capable of providing when the team desperately needs him to make a play. Like, he needs to be the third or fourth guy on a team where it's not like, man, they need Travis Konechny to make a play because nobody else can. Like, they need him to be the secondary guy. And on this team, he can't be because he is actually their best player.
Absolutely. And real quick, guys, I just want to take a quick second to tell all of our listeners here today about our dear sponsor over at Olipop. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to lie to you. After this, I have some pizza waiting for me. It's Pizza Fridays over here at this household. I typically go with a little Coca-Cola with the pizza, but obviously with our new sponsor today and Olipop, I'm going to take advantage of their traditional cola that they got going on over there. Olipop is the world's first functional soda with a classic soda taste and the benefits of plant-based fiber, ladies and gentlemen. Prebiotics and other botanical ingredients to support gut health. It's extremely important. I'm telling you guys, Olipop is a new kind of soda with only 2 to 5 grams of sugar and 9 grams of fiber per can. And Olipop is available online and almost in 30,000 retailers nationwide, including, that's right, their recent launch in Wawa. You can get Olipop at your local Wawa here today, but they're also available in different supermarkets. I saw it at Wegmans the other day, so it is a pretty easy to get a hold of Olipop. But if not, like we said, you can get it online as well. Like I mentioned, I'm going to go with the traditional cola tonight. But I've loved the cream soda. The classic root beer is also a great selection as well. And right now, guys, we got you hooked up with the promo code. If you use the promo code PHLY20, you'll get 20% off your next Olipop order. This discount only applies to one-time orders, not to subscription orders. Olipop is sold online, drinkolipop.com, or on Amazon, and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Wawa, Target, Sprouts, Wegmans, ShopRite, and GoPuff. Thank you to our sponsor here today in Olipop. All right, guys. Kylie and Charlie, listen, I think that this overall was not fun, but I do think that there was some positives. And Charlie, well, one thing that really did stand out to me was Noah Cates, especially Noah Cates as of late, but especially here tonight. I thought he looked really solid. Obviously, my man got the goal as well. What did you see from Noah Cates here tonight, Charlie?
Yeah, the Flyers, you know, John Tortorella has been asking the Flyers to collectively, but also individually, you know, reach that different level that these games require. And Tortorella has not been terribly happy with a lot of the players who he believes have not. Noah Cates has been one of the guys who I think has. He obviously scored the first goal on Monday, which really should have been a shot in the arm of the team. It ends up not being because Erickson gives up, you know, one goal that's and then one goal that's awful, and that kind of kills it right in its fed. But he was good again tonight. I thought he obviously gets the one goal, but he's also just making plays. He's winning battles along the boards. He's getting back to kind of what made him an exciting player last year, and you could argue it's too little too late, and, you know, it's certainly not going to make his final season scoring numbers look much better. They're still going to be ghastly because he didn't score like at all the first two-thirds of the season. But it is nice to see that he can elevate his game to a level that we've seen before, but nice to know that it's not just gone, that he seems like he's finally starting to maybe get back in the swing of things. And if anything, I don't know if the Flyers are ultimately going to make the playoffs or not. I guess we'll see over these last five games. But even if they don't, at least Cates will have something to build on going into the offseason. And then maybe he can use that as a springboard to a bounce back year three next season.
Yeah, I was definitely worried that Cates had just kind of like settled into something a little bit more mediocre than we had seen from him like last season. So it is nice to see him coming on. It reminds me a bit of Morgan Frost last season, where it just kind of took the entire season for him to figure it out. Too little too late? Not really, because Noah Cates isn't supposed to be the guy that's winning or losing you hockey games. So it's just nice to know that he's still got it, because I think he can be a nice piece on the fourth line going forward. So it's nice to see
I mean, I still think he can be a solid bottom sixer. Like, the big thing for him is that he needs to score a little bit. It's not even that he has to score a ton, because even this year, even as disappointing as the scoring numbers have looked this season, from an underlying metric standpoint, he is still driving play probably the best of any player on the Flyers. Like, good things happen when he's on the ice. It's just that if you're going to be a regular player, you can't just do that. You got to score sometimes. You got to be obviously impactful on the score sheet maybe once every three or four games. Like, you got to do it a few times. And if he can just, like, if all that has to do in my mind is be like a 25-30 point a year guy and get all the other big things that he does, that's fine. It's all it's got to be. And I was starting to worry that, like, maybe he just doesn't have the offensive ability to be that unless you are force-feeding in minutes like you did last year when they had no other choice. What we're seeing over these last few games is that, you know, maybe he does have the offensive ability to be a third-line winger on a, you know, on a grinded-out line, a checking line, and put in, you know, somewhere between 25 and 35 points a year the way that Scott Laughton does. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I envision Cates' offensive ceiling ultimately falling into if he hits. And my hit, I mean, like, becomes like a staple of this team for the next 6-7 years. This year was concerning from that regard, but these last few games, it's been positive. Another guy who I thought actually had a really good game, he really impressed me, Jamie Drysdale.
I
felt this was his best game maybe since that those first couple that he had right after the trade, which was really encouraging to see.
He looked really good, and I think I was never one of those people who was like deeply worried that he had somehow injured himself into never being a good defenseman just because he hurt his shoulder again. I think it was fair to be a little bit worried that it was going to take, you know, probably the off season for him to get back to something resembling what we saw in those first couple of games. And he was everywhere tonight, like all over the ice. And I think you put it in the outline, Charlie, but that Seeler-Drysdale pair has some real potential to be something fun to watch, which is cool.
Yeah, that's what I noticed as well. I mean, listen, with Drysdale, listen, obviously the injury was kind of a setback, but you all see the skating. You all see what he can do from that blue line, and I think he's going to be fine. But I'm with you. I love seeing him with Sealer. Obviously, we know shot blocker. He brings a physicality where Drysdale always provides the offense production there. But it was good to see because obviously this is like the best game I've seen since he came back from injury. So it was definitely promising to see. But yeah, Charlie, 100%, he was definitely one of those positives tonight as well.
Yeah, and speaking to that Sealer-Drysdale pairing, I mean, I am not dismissing the possibility the Flyers still make the playoffs. They certainly could. They got a lot of help from a team from the rivals in the East that they're battling with for spots tonight. They still might be able to get it. Maybe they turn it off. You know, this game, they outshot the Sabres by a ton. You know, if they just start getting the bounces and get anything really resembling decent goaltending, maybe a little bit of playoffs. But I am, in a sense, looking to next year already because this is a rebuilding team. And one of the main things that will decide whether this rebuild works, especially given the fact that you trade a Carter Grotier for it, is how Jamie Drysdale develops. You need Jamie Drysdale to hit. Like, maybe you don't need him to be a number one. It would be Dan Gore if he ended up becoming a number one. But in the very least, he'd have to be a pretty darn good top four defenseman. To me, his development is very, very important. And part of his development is getting him a partner that he can trust and he can play off of over the long term. I'm hoping Nick Sealer can be that guy for him next year. I like the potential of that partnership because I don't want to toss J.D. Drysdale in the first pair of minutes right off the bat, like for him to ultimately earn them. But off the bat, I don't want to put him in with Cam York and give him the kind of minutes that Cam York has earned. You know, Cam's getting 25 minutes a night. Like, I don't know Drysdale to get that right off the bat. I don't want him to be facing top pairs, top lines every night. I'd like for him to be on the second pair or even the third pair. And that's where someone like Nick Sealer can fill in quite well for him because not only can he do all of the crazy defense things that he is known for, but he can also hopefully like not get in Drysdale's way and let Drysdale cook, but do it in usage where he's not getting killed from a matchup standpoint. They are the second pair to start next season rather than top pair. And then Drysdale and Kaido hopefully succeed in that role and then push for more minutes from there. But I like the potential of a Sealer-Drysdale pairing the rest of this year, absolutely, because they're still pushing for a playoff spot. And hey, those guys show chemistry and they can hold it the rest of the year and then get the Flyers in the playoffs. That's awesome. But I am more concerned about Drysdale's long-term development. And if he can build chemistry with Sealer, I think that pairing has a lot of it makes sense in my head. And it also makes sense in terms of the usage I want Drysdale to have. So I like the fact that they're showing something so far.
Yeah, because I think there was some worry, at least for me, about what Sealer was going to look like without Sean Walker. And Drysdale probably has the closest thing to Sean Walker vibes on this team. So, like, if Sean Walker and Nick Sealer worked as well as it did, maybe Jamie Drysdale and Nick Sealer can work that well, too.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that was really good. Those two were obviously when Sean and Nick were together, they obviously worked really well. And, you know, Jamie, he provides a little bit more, especially when it comes to that skill set for sure. Charlie, one tweet you did bring out, I was intrigued by it as well when you put it out. The third line pairing of Ola Lixell, Ryan Poehling, and Garnet Hathaway. What did you think of that line at the end of the game?
I thought Lixell had a really good game. It's a bummer that he didn't score. He had one opportunity where I think he got like two or three chances in about 3 seconds span. He was one of the players who was buzzing. So I didn't dislike that. It was a weird idea just because obviously Poehling and Hathaway are like the ultimate grinded out bottom six fourth line types. And Lixell is kind of like a finesse skill guy. But they liked what they've seen from Lixell in terms of chance creation. Jim Jackson noted on the broadcast that he's been generating a lot of scoring chances recently. He's just not finishing. Now, look, that's a big problem for this team on the whole. You know, this team needs to finish on more of his chances. So, like, Ola Lissell just can never finish on his chances. He's probably not a guy who's going to let him that much of a future here if he just can't finish at the NHL level. But I was intrigued by the idea. I thought as a third line, they were pretty good. You know, Lixell, we were scored a couple times. They created some chances. Paling got some good rushes. It worked. It's just that they didn't score. And while it's probably unfair to be yellow in the third line for not scoring, the Flyers just need score. They need it from somebody. They need it from anybody. And I'm sure, you know, yeah, Jonathan Rudolph is probably happy to excel at another good game or created chances, but it's also like, dude, like, at some point you got to score a goal, man. We can't keep you up here forever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Real quick, I want to take a quick timeout, guys, and I want to tell you guys about our dear friends over at the Game Time app. That is right, ladies and gentlemen. As you guys can clearly tell, if you're living in the city of Philadelphia, it is WrestleMania. That's where our boy Bill is at. You guys can check out the WrestleMania tickets over at the Game Time app. It is a free app, and what I love the most about it is its functionality. You can look at all the seats, you can see your seat in the stadium before buying, and also all the fees you can see right before checkout. So gone are the days of hitting that checkout button and here comes $100 worth of fees. That's where Game Time has you covered there. And best of all, they have the lowest prices guaranteed. Right now, for all of our baseball fans, obviously it is opening day, opening week. They have a special opening day offer right now. If you go to the Game Time app, it's a $20 off. If you use the promo code FIRSTPITCH, that's FIRSTPITCH. So with this offer right now, all users can get $20 off any MLB purchase of $150 or more in the Game Time app with the promo code that I just mentioned to you. And this offer runs through March 25th through April 14th. So definitely check that out. But hey, in general, guys, listen, if you're going down to a sporting event, concert, comedy show, whatever it may be, definitely make sure you guys check out the Game Time app. And thank you to our friends over at the Game Time app. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, here. Real quick, I did have an interest. There was an interesting comment here I wanted to talk real quick. Chuck Dude put out here. Why did we start Fedotov in a must-win game against a very skillful team? If he was to start a game, it should have been against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Is Sam trash now? Unacceptable. So what I wanted to ask you about in this one, did it really matter the opponent that we had in front of us when it came to starting either Fedotov or Ayrson? And Kelly, if you want to start off with this one, your thoughts on this?
I mean, I get where he's coming from, because theoretically the Blue Jackets should be the easier of the two opponents this weekend. But I also understand why they went with Fedotov, because there was some momentum there. I mean, the problems that Fedotov had tonight probably would exist if he played the Blue Jackets as well. Like, they were technical problems. So I'm not sure it would have made much of a difference. Could Sam Harrison have won this game? Maybe. But the Flyers still needed to score more goals, in my opinion. Like, that would have done it, too. But yeah, I mean, I understand where Chuck's coming from, but I also don't know that it matters that much, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is an element here of hindsight, to be sure, because I tweeted this out during the game. I had a ton of people on my mentions yelling after Marley's game that how could the Flyers have not started Fedotov against the Islanders? Ayrson's cooked. You know, that was coaching, not practice. Now he starts Fedotov and he's going to get criticism for that. And the reason is because they lost both games. So obviously he made the wrong decision if they lost, because the other decision may have been right. We just don't know. To me, the reason why I was fine with going Fedotov tonight, number one, is because he was going to get one of these two games. It's a back-to-back. They made it abundantly clear they're not using Sam Harrison at back-to-backs, and certainly not when he's exhausted, which plays into the reason why I was cool with going Fedotov tonight. I think Harrison is gassed. I don't think this is a case of the Flyers losing faith in Harrison by any means, but I think they realize he is tired. And this, if Harrison's going to go one of these games, if Fedotov's going to go one of these games, why not give Harrison the extra day to recuperate as much as he possibly can? He's already had 3 days between games. This gives him four. Maybe that can give him enough energy and then replenish the tank a little bit to get him through most of these final five games. And also, Fedotov is coming off a really big game. And, you know, there's an element of, like, maybe he could just ride the wave. Like, goalies are weird. Sometimes bad goalies get on an incredible hot streak. Sometimes great goalies play like crap for two straight weeks, and you just don't really know why. And I think their thought process was, number one, let's give Harrison an extra day off, another day off, to try to get him as much rest as we possibly can. And number two, maybe we have a night to get a bottle with the Stutokov guy, who is just riding a charmed wave, and he clearly isn't because he crashed back to Earth tonight. But I don't know. I understand where Chuck's coming from because, yeah, Columbus is the weaker team. But I do think there was enough there to justify going with Fedotov first. It just didn't work out. And then, obviously, in hindsight, it looks like the wrong move because they lost. But it's not a move I've been at Chuck before, let me put it that way.
No, I mean, absolutely. I'm with you guys. Like, it really did not matter. And although it was interesting to see Buffalo and how they've kind of recuperated in the second half of this season. And look, they do have some good young pieces. It just feels like they can't get to that next level that so many teams in this league just struggle to get over the hump with. But it really did not matter here tonight. I did want to, before we get to, we're going to get to Charlie's three stars here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I did want to bring up, though, one more positive. Owen Tippett obviously had the goal, but I just love his skill set. The spinorama he had in the third period that went right into ULP, but in general, he's looked really solid as well. He's obviously one of those players has been trying to step up too, but Kelly, Owen Tippett, man, he's fun to watch.
He's so fun. I'm obsessed with him. He's my favorite player on the team right now. He's awesome. He's so fast. His shot is, like, so sick.
Oh, my God.
So ginge. Like, everything about him is
so ginge.
I'm obsessed with him. Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. Perfect player.
I was happy for him that he tonight he sets career highs in goals and in points. So that's cool. Taking a step forward. There was a period of time where I think we were wondering if you know, if he was going to have the breakout season this year. I don't think that's been what this is, but he's now only 2 goals away from 30. He might crack 30 goals this year. That would be a nice threshold for him to crack, regardless of how the rest of the Spire season goes. And I certainly think he's capable of it. So happy for Evan Tippett. I think he could have been better tonight, but so could a lot of players. But he scores a goal, he gets an assist. So ultimately, he did his job. So can't put too much on Owen Tippett. I think he's had a solid year. Not amazing year, but a solid year. Before I get into the three stars, though, I do want to ask a question to both of you. So I guess I will kick this off with Kelly, and then I will go to JP. Where is your head with regards to the playoffs?
Oh, no. Don't ask me.
After this game, where are you feeling?
Well, after the idiot Capitals and Red Wings also lost because no one wants to make the playoffs, I feel a little less defeatist. If they lose tomorrow, though, it's going to be real hard for me because it's getting to the point where now I'm like, you know what? You don't deserve to make playoffs. Like, now I don't want you to because you don't deserve it. But I still think they might get in.
Still think they make it. All right. JP, what do you think?
This
will make the playoffs?
I think, unfortunately, I do think they will only because just the other team I want it either. Like, I say unfortunately, like, that's not how I want to make the playoffs. I want to make the playoffs because we earned it. But it looks like we may make the playoffs because the other teams just can't get the job done. It just feels like back in 2020 when the Eagles were in the NFC East, that was just so terrible. I think the football team made it like six wins on the season. That's what this feels like right now. But like Kelly said, like tomorrow, I mean, if you lose 7 straight games in a row and you're still hanging on a play to the Columbus Blue Jackets, that's not a fun feeling, even if you do make the playoffs or not. And as our boy Vince Pellegrini throws in, why not us? Is there not?
With it. I love the positivity. Tomorrow, I'm taking my television off the wall and I'm walking it down to the Ben Franklin Bridge and I'm throwing it into the river. So,
I mean, it's better than you jumping into the water. The TV, he can sacrifice the TV.
He's got to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
Wait, where are you at, Charlie? Do you think this team's making the playoffs?
I am starting to be very concerned that everyone in the Eastern Conference is gift-wrapping us for the fucking Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, God. The worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
That, I forgot about those mother effers out there right now.
Like, they are now.
Yeah.
If they sneak in, it's going to be the most infuriating thing in the world. And, like, it's not even that they're playing that great. It's that they're winning some games and everyone else is losing all the games.
Wow. Yeah, 81 points right now. Oh, my God. What's that schedule looking like for them? It's
tough. They have some tough games. But, like, the thing with the Penguins this year has always been they've underachieved. Like, they have the talent. They're just a mess. And I think they're still a mess. It's just now everybody else is just as much of a mess as they are. I don't know. It was a tough one for me. I was still on the like, I think they're going to make the playoffs. Now I'm more leaning towards, I don't know if they can pull themselves out of this. Especially now that we know that there's probably not going to be any Fedotov magic. So that option is now been erased. Now it's back to hope to God that Urson catches enough of a break over this week to replenish his energy.
Maybe Fetty learned some shit tonight, Charlie. Maybe he's lesson.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe. Time.
Maybe.
All right. Well, let's get to the three stars of the ice with Charlie O'Connor. Charlie, let's kick it off with star number three.
Star number three, I will go with one flyer for this one. I will say Noah Cates. Could have been Jake and Drysdale. If the Flyers were one, he probably would have been one of them. But Noah Cates for his goal, second straight game with a goal. He stepped up, you know, in these meaningful games. And I thought it wasn't just the goal. I thought he, was impactful regularly on his shifts, even in limited ice time. Looking at his advanced metrics in this one, per natural stat trick, Flyers collected 85% of the expected goals with him on the ice at 5-on-5 in this one, so pretty darn good. Cates, I give him credit. He stepped up, hasn't been, you know, the year he wanted, but when the chips are down, he's playing some of his best hockey. So for that reason, I will give him the third star.
Let's go. I like that. All right, Charlie. Star number two. What do you got?
Star number two, I will go with Buffalo's Jack Quinn. Not just because he got two goals in this game, but because they were two really big goals. I mean, he gets the goal at the end of the second period. The Flyers are, you know, maybe going to be able to hit the second intermission down just one. Then you can, you know, Torts can give him big pep talk. The guys can, you know, start yelling to each other's faces like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And then they go out there instead of completely deflating goal to go into the locker room. You're down to, you know, even when you score one goal, it's not like you're all the way back. It just seems like a mountain guy climb. Well, then they get past it. They get the goal from Tippett. And now it's back to a one goal game, one play. And what happens? Jack Quinn scores again. So it's not even just the add-two goals, but it's the timing of the goals. They really just snuffed out Flyers' momentum at key times, and I'll give Jack Quinn credit. I mean, good shots, and he played a good game, and he did what he had to do to get the Sabres a win. So Jack Quinn, second star of the game.
All right, and that only leaves us with one more. Charlie, give us star number one tonight.
Yeah, it's UPL. Ugo Pekka-Rinne.
It's an S-tier hockey name.
It's honestly an amazing hockey name. Like, that is a killer.
Good. Yeah.
Killer hockey name. He had a really good game, especially in the first half of the game. I felt like that was him almost single-handedly keeping the Sabres in it. When the Flyers, it was just a barrage of shots. And these were, like, I thought that, you know, thinking back to, say, like, the Chicago game, the Flyers outshot Chicago. I didn't think they created many quality chances. This one, they outshot the Sabres, and they created some really good chances. And Lukanen just stopped it. And then in the second half of the game, the Sabres played better. And Lukanen didn't have to necessarily stand on his head as much. But he still made some big saves. He was still there when he had to be. He obviously gives up the tip of goal. But beyond that, he did exactly what he had to do. Finishes with 32 saves on 34 shots. And looking at the expected goals, the Flyers had 3.26 expected goals. Lukanen allows only two real goals. So Yeah, you could certainly make the case that Lukanen had swung this game. I think he's the obvious, like, a one-star. Not that he necessarily stole it, because with the way Vodokov is playing, you know, even if Lukanen gets a third goal, Flyers still probably lose this one because Vodokov just didn't have it. But he was a big part of it. Lukanen was a big part of why the Sabres pulled the upset tonight, and for that reason, he is my first star.
Charlie, you are the pronunciation king. In your covering hockey here, is the nation of Finland the hardest names to pronounce?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think about, like, nah, I mean, Finland, the Finland names honestly are usually pretty easy.
They're pretty phonetic, yeah.
Yeah.
It's both Mecca Lukanen, like, it's, you know, right there.
It's just fun. Like, they're fun names to say. I feel like it's the lesser known Eastern European countries that tend to be the worst, or at least the hardest to remember. They tend to be tough. Norwegian names can be difficult at times. They also can be really fun though, so it's like either or. But it's my job to know how to pronounce these guys' names, so I try to do it as best I can. Same thing with like a guy like Fedotov, you gotta add the accent on the second syllable, not the first syllable, so we're going with that until he tells us otherwise. So, you know, these guys deserve to have names pronounced properly, so I do my best.
Do you know what I think about a lot, Charlie? This is very random, but I think about how for like our entire lives we were probably saying Sergei Fedorov's name wrong. Like, it's probably Fedorov, right?
Probably. Yeah.
I feel like our entire lives would have been different if we were calling him Sergei Fedorov.
Yeah, you're right. Sergei Fedorov, probably. But even though some of these guys have Provorov did this too, where he just showed up to everybody, no, just call me Provorov because you guys have been wrong anyway. So maybe Fedorov said the same thing, or maybe we were just today like less caring about cultural differences type of the 90s and no one even asked him.
I think it was more that back then. I think no one gave a fuck. They were just like, now we're just going to say your names however we want. Sorry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Before we end this post-game show, and thanks to everyone for watching and listening, I do want to give a little plug for PHLY diehard subscriptions. Obviously, my articles, some are free, but quite a few of them are behind the diehard paywall. Definitely check that out. It's not just the articles, though. You get discounts on merch. You get access to events. You get a free shirt. And we have some really good shirts right now. Be signed to become a diehard. We got the new Phillies line. We have the new Anthony Gargano line. We have a bunch of Flyer shirts. We have the Matt Rushen tee. So if you're looking to pick one of those up, you get a free shirt with your diehard subscription. You have a nice little, like, it's almost like a gift box for you. It's pretty cool. And you get to read all my content, and you get to read all Zach Berman, Bo Wolf, Derek Bodner, Kyle Lubeck, everybody's content. I feel we're going to be getting Wes Bowen to come on, so you'll get his content behind the paywall, and Alex Appleyard does his prospect articles, you'll get that content as well. So certainly I think we are giving you enough reasons to justify the purchase, but give it a shot. We'd certainly love to have you on board, and you can join the Discord, where I'm at all the time to talk hockey and debate and mediate arguments from our many Discord commenters. It's a fun time. It's basically Twitter without the insanity to that degree. So if you've got the same Twitter with someone to talk hockey, join the Discord, become a BRGR, PHRY diehard. We'd love to have you.
Wow, I think I might become a diehard and I work here. That sounds like a lot of fun. Awesome.
Check back to it, kid.
There you go. Well, Kelly and Charlie, are you guys ready to do this tomorrow as well? As we got a Columbus.
Yay. It's going to be better tomorrow, boys.
I love it.
Sure, so.
I love it. Awesome stuff. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's edition of PHLY Flyers. Like Charlie said, make sure you guys the like button, subscribe. We will see you guys for tomorrow's show. Until then, you guys enjoy the rest of your night, Philly. See you soon.
We all sitting like the